Okay, so he sat there, he began looking at the horizon, waiting for the sun to rise. While he was waiting, slowly he fell asleep as well. Now, everybody's sleeping, the Sahaba are sleeping, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sleeping. All of a sudden, Bilal's eye wakes up. He wakes up and he sees, subhanAllah, the sun's risen. So he goes and he wakes up the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees that the sun is risen. So what does he tell the companions? Move from this place. Move from this place as quickly as possible because this is potentially a cursed place. So for us, it's absolutely mandatory. On the Day of Judgment, the first thing we're going to be asked about is our prayer. And it's unacceptable for us that we sleep through that prayer because that's what defines us as a Muslim. The five prayers. So for us, at the least, this discussion is important because it defines our ability to wake up for the Fajr prayer. So we have to be very, very particular about this discussion of sleep. So that was the first point. And that is that human beings are made up of two components, a body and a soul. And that in order for a human being to be able to restrict their sleep, they need to restrict their feeding of their body and they need to elevate their soul. Okay, point number two. Once you've understood this, then point number two is that you are a human being, you're going to have to sleep. In the end, you cannot eliminate the body aspect of yourself. You're going to have to sleep 4 hours or 5 hours every night, sometimes 3 hours. You're going to have to get some degree of sleep. So the second thing that we have to recognize is that we have to increase barakah in our sleep. So what does that mean? It means that we have to bring blessing into the time that we do sleep so that that minimal time will provide us with a tremendous amount of refreshment. That's the second important point about sleep. Now when I say barakah, what do I mean by barakah? Barakah basically means that you bring blessing into something you do so that its results are plentiful and abundant. And in Islam we call that barakah. The greatest example of barakah is actually found in a hadith in the book of Imam Tirmidhi, which is just a book called the Shima'il of Imam Tirmidhi, in which characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are discussed. And in one particular hadith, Abi Ayyub al-Ansari, who was a companion of the Prophet alayhi salam, he says, one day we were all sitting with the Prophet alayhi salam, group of companions sitting with the Prophet alayhi salam, and food was placed before us. So here you have a group of people sitting. All of a sudden food is placed before them. And then he makes a comment about that meal. And he says that in that particular meal, I never saw so much barakah as I saw in the beginning of the meal. And at the same time, I never saw so little barakah as I saw at the end of the meal. So he's commenting on this particular meal. Now, what happened was is that in the beginning of the meal, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions were eating and there was just a little bit of food present. And they were eating and they were eating and they were eating and they were eating and everybody was becoming full and the food was not diminishing at all. And they said, subhanAllah, look how much barakah there is in this food that with such minimal food, so many people can eat. Then all of a sudden at the end of the meal, somebody came and finished all the food in a couple of bites. So this was what they were shocked about. Then at the beginning of the meal, there's so much barakah that the Prophet alayhi salam and everybody's eating and the food is so plentiful and it's lasting. And then somebody else comes and sits down and the whole food finishes in two bites. So how can this be? So they asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he responded in explaining why there was so much barakah at the beginning of the meal and why there was so much barakah at the end of the meal. And so the Prophet alayhi salam, in his own words, he says, Inna dhakarna ismallahi hina akalna. At the time of eating, when we started eating, when this whole group of companions and the Prophet alayhi salam started eating, we said Bismillah. So when we said Bismillah, we brought barakah into the food. And then the Prophet alayhi salam continues. Then somebody came and he sat down without saying Bismillah. Then the Prophet alayhi salam says, Fa akala ma'ahu shaytan. So shaitan ate with him. So that brought in the lack of barakah. Meaning shaitan and this individual finished all the food in two bites. No big deal for shaitan to waste things like that. So in the beginning of the meal there was barakah. Why? Because it was tied into Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the end of the meal there was no barakah. Why? Because shaitan became a partner in that meal. So in essence what this hadith is highlighting is two important things. Number one, it's a beautiful example of the concept of barakah. And so for all of us, it highlights to us that there is this issue within the deen called barakah, and that in order to succeed and maximize on life, we need to bring barakah into our deen, into aspects of our deen. And the second thing that this highlights is that where does that barakah come from? It comes from attaching something to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the beginning of the meal, they attached it to being thankful to Allah. They said Bismillah, so they brought in barakah. At the end of the meal, they attached it to shaitan because they didn't take the name of Allah, so they lacked the barakah. So the general premise is what? That when something is done for the sake of Allah and with the remembrance of Allah, there's barakah. And when something is not done, shaitan comes into it. Now this applies not only with food, but it also applies to sleep. For example, Jabir radiallahu anhu, famous companion of the Prophet alayhi salam, he states in a narration in the book of Imam Bukhari that whenever any person, now listen to this because this is going to involve two important aspects of your daily living. He says that whenever anybody enters their home or whenever anybody goes to sleep, there is one angel and one shaitan that rush to that individual. When somebody enters their home or when somebody goes to bed, there is one angel and one shaitan that rushes to that individual. The angel says, seal it with good. And shaitan says, seal it with evil. So for example, I go to bed, I'm lying down. The moment I lie down, one shaitan and one angel comes to me. The angel says, seal his sleep with good. And the shaitan says, seal his sleep with evil. Then, if the person remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shaitan is chased away. And the angel remains a protector for him. Now this basically defines two important aspects of our life. Number one, our home life. When we come home to our kids and to our families. Right? That is such an important aspect of our life. That is actually what we do everything for. When a person goes to work in the morning, why are they going to work in the morning? They're going to work in the morning to bring home money for their family, to bring food for their family, to support their children. Then all of their struggle and sacrifice, you ask any parent, it's for their children. So when we enter into the home, there is an angel that comes and says, seal this whole thing with good. And there's a shaitan that comes and says, seal this whole thing with bad. And that's why when any of us enter the home, the way by which we bring barakah into that home life that we have is by taking the name of Allah before we enter the house. In the same way, as is in regards to sleep, which is the discussion for the day, when an individual enters into the home, they have to remember that in order to enter into the home, when an individual enters into sleep, they have to remember that in order to bring barakah into that sleep, they have to take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, you're going to see that this is a habit of the Prophet alayhi salam. For example, when we go to bed, we teach this to our children, we learn this ourselves, but so often we forget. When we go to bed, basically we lie down and say, I am so exhausted, you don't understand how tired I am. Right? Nobody understands how tired I am. And we pass out. We don't think about the fact that we need to actually bring barakah into that. And so, what was the dua that the Prophet alayhi salam used to recite before he would go to sleep? Allahumma bismika amutu wa ahya. Right? Allahumma, O Allah, bismika, with your name, amutu, I live, meaning I'm awake. Sorry, I die, meaning I sleep. Wa ahya, and I'm awake. So here you can see that the Prophet alayhi salam is teaching us through this dua to bring in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into our sleep. Now at the same time, this narration from Jabir radiallahu anhu that's present in the book of Imam Bukhari states that this happens, this interaction of the angel and shaitan rushing to the individual, this happens when an individual goes to bed. But then in that same narration, it explains that the same thing happens when the individual wakes up. The same thing happens when the individual wakes up. And so you see this in the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salam as well. That when he used to wake up, he used to say, Alhamdulillahi alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana wa ilayhin nushur. That glory be to Allah. Alladhi ahyana. He who brought us back to life. Ba'dama amatana. After he caused us to be dead. Meaning sleep. Because sleep is a sister of death. Wa ilayhin nushur. And to him is the final return. Alright, now, in this particular dua, what we're being taught is that we need to wake up with the name of Allah. And what we learned in the previous dua is that we need to sleep with the name of Allah. So for us, such a simple thing can make 8 hours of sleep beneficial sleep or non-beneficial sleep. Or can make 5 hours of sleep beneficial sleep or non-beneficial sleep. So we have to be very, very particular about this simple point. Now, this goes into many, many steps further. What I'm telling you is the minimal from the sunnah.